the better that we stick together, the better that you guys realize that you are the union, the stronger your leaders can be.
Welcome to the 412-411, your podcast from UA Local 412. If you're a plumber, a pipe fitter, a welder, or an HVACR service technician in New Mexico or the El Paso area, or you're thinking about becoming one, this is your resource for in-depth information about what's going on at your union. In this episode, we're going to talk about the role of the union steward, the person who provides an on-site presence for the union, and the person who is your first line of representation on the job site. We'll be talking today with Shane Utes, Local 412's attorney, about the legal realities of being a union steward, but we're going to begin today's episode by welcoming back Art Sparks, a longtime friend of the pod. I began our conversation by asking Art to tell me about his years as a union steward.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be a steward. It was, you know, when the past administration, Danny Beavers, was a BA for Los Alamos, he approached me, asked me if I'd want to be the steward. And one of those reasons he asked me is because I was always at the union meetings, trying to stay involved, keep, you know, staying involved, knowing what was going on with the local. So he asked me if I'd be a steward, and I said, absolutely, I'd give it a whirl. At that time, we didn't really have a steward training. But he sat me down, kind of explained what my function would be, what my responsibilities were, and I took off from there. And I was a union steward up in Los Alamos around 10 years, off and on for around 10 years.
And how was that?
It was great. I mean, it's a hard job.
It strikes me as a hard job. When you think about being the union's eyes and ears and voice right there on the job site, that's got to be a little daunting.
It is, and you got to be careful. You know, you're a leader. You know, what we tell all of our members, everybody's a steward on the job. You may not have a title of a steward, but you are a steward on the job. It's your job to represent 412 and represent the company, make sure our jurisdiction isn't getting taken away from us. Those are responsibilities that every union member out there. But a union steward, that's one of his main focus and responsibilities, to make sure all that's done every day on the job. That's his one focus, plus doing his normal day-to-day work.
I'm just curious. So when you became a steward, what was that first day like? Was that...
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can actually remember that first day. I don't think anything was really, you know, I was very proud to accept the position and getting the word out, hey, I'm the steward on the job. If you need me, give me a call. I gave out my phone number. At that time, I don't even think we had cell phones on the job, so I gave them my pager number. So the first day, not a lot of action, but... Shortly after, you know, guys would call me, you know, because we're involved with terminations.
Everything.
Discipline action, all that. So you start getting those calls, and boy, you're drinking out of a fire hose sometimes trying to figure out how to handle things. And all my stewards now, and even when I was a steward back then, we always got a hold of the business agent, said, hey, this is going on. I'm going to go in this meeting now. I'll let you know how it turns out. I'll take notes. It's very important to keep track and take notes of every conversation you have. So, like I said, at first it was kind of slow, but then it picked up. And it, you know, for 10 years, it was a lot going on. Jurisdictional issues, you name it. We did it all. So,
excellent. So, fast forward, you are the business agent now.
Yeah.
And you're conducting steward training classes.
Yes, sir.
We just had one a week or so ago.
Yes.
How did that go?
It went really well. We had, I think, 13 people there. It was 15 signed up, but two had to cancel. But it went very well. We start out the morning just introductions. We go around the table and ask, you know, name, where you work, how long you've been in the union, why you want to take the class, just a quick. Then I give a scenario, or I talk about myself, what I've done for the last 35 years in this union, and we go from there. We start talking about responsibilities of a union steward. We talk about the do's and don'ts of a union steward on the job, off the job, you know, their responsibilities. And that lasts till around 11 o'clock. And then Shane Utes, our labor attorney, comes in, and he talks about grievances and arbitration and those type of things.
So for you, a Local 412 members who are on a site without a union steward, what would you want to say to them about the possibility of becoming a union steward?
So what I'd like to say to them is, you know, if you're out there on a job site somewhere and you do not have a union steward, or you don't know who they are, or if you're interested in being a union steward, just reach out to myself or Justin Forney or Courtney or Adam, and we'll put your name on the list in the next steward training we have, which we try to do at least one to two a year. So we'll get you signed up for the next one. Come on in and take the class. And it's per the contract, you have to have that steward training prior to becoming a steward on the job. It doesn't always work that way, because I may need a steward immediately, get him set up, and then I'll bring him in for the training. So that's what I'd like to tell him. Just if you're interested, give us a call. We're always available. So,
and is it usually you and Shane doing the training?
Usually it's myself. I usually have a gentleman by the name of Ferdinand Graffia, who's been a steward for on almost every job he's worked on for 40 years. I mean, this guy has tons and tons of knowledge, stories.
He's been there and done that.
So he's usually teaching with me. This last class, he wasn't able to come. And Shane or one of his partners at the lawyer's office will come. One of three will come and give the training.
And he was outstanding. And we are going to turn our attention now on the pod to my conversation with Shane just after the training was finished. But your input at this point is, I think, sets the table. Okay. And I think everybody's going to enjoy the conversation with Shane as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I'd just like to say before we finish this up is anybody who's interested, from fourth or fifth year apprentices to 20, 30 year journeyman, if you're interested in being a steward, because we need stewards on the job. We probably have 50 contractors out there, and not every single contractor and not every single job has a steward on it. And that's the voice of this local, is out on job, is that steward. So if you're interested, get a hold of us. We'll set up another class as soon as we have enough people, and we'll go from there.
Outstanding. Yeah. Art, always a pleasure to have you on the 412-411.
Thank you, sir.
Have a seat. Hey, it's always a pleasure to chat with my friend Art Sparks, and I want to thank him again for making the time to speak with us today. Next, however, we're going to hear from Shane Utes. Shane is an Albuquerque attorney who not only represents UA Local 412, but he also represents unions all over the country. In fact, his firm's entire practice consists entirely of representing unions. While most of the conversation you're going to hear today is about the legal aspects of being a union steward, I began by asking Shane about why he decided to limit his professional focus exclusively on representing unions and their members.
We all know the workplace is rough in the United States, and people need help, and they need representation. And I get to help people. I don't help banks. I don't help corporations. I help people. And that makes me proud to go home, and I have kids, and my kids have walked the picket line, and they've gone to union meetings, and it's the most meaningful thing I think you can do as a lawyer. I love it.
Well, I want to get to stewardship in just a second, but I'm interested from your perspective, particularly hearing what you just described, how did 2023 look to you for unions, and how is 2024 looking to you?
You know, I've been doing this for about 30 years, and I would say since COVID in 21, 22, 23, we have been able to get contracts that we weren't able to get for the last 20 years. Workers in the United States have more leverage right now than they have in the last 30 years. We're at still at a generational moment where we have more leverage in the ability to affect terms and conditions in the workplace than we have in my career. It's beautiful right now. And
it's extraordinary.
It is, isn't it? And I think 24 is going to be more of the same. We have years left in this cycle.
Yeah. And if the State of the Union message was any indication, earlier this week as we talk, there was a big union vibe, I guess is the best way to put it.
There is more reason for union optimism right now than there has been in the last 30 years. People like and respect unions. They trust unions. And it's because a union workplace has better working conditions. It has better health insurance. It has retirement. It has all kinds of things that non-union workplaces will never have.
Listen, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble with Art and Joan if we don't turn our attention to Stewart.
Okay.
To the union Stewart role right now. Could you give us maybe kind of a union Stewart 101 overview of what the position entails and how it fits into the bigger picture of the relationship between the worker and the company?
Sure. The union steward is our workplace representative. They are the person who has the ability to enforce the rights that the union has in the workplace, and they are our eyes and our ears to protect our members and to enforce the hard-fought terms of the collective bargaining agreement. Without stewards in the workplace, all kinds of things happen to our employees that we don't know about. They are the front line.
Why would it be desirable or interesting or fun for somebody to choose to become a steward? Why do people do that?
In my experience, the people who become union stewards are people who are proud of where they work, they're proud of what they do, and they stand up. They're not afraid. They stand up for themselves. And I'll tell you, in my experience, there are people who like to stand up for others, they see that most people in the workplace are afraid. They're afraid to stand up for themselves. And these are people who are not afraid to stand up for themselves, and they're not afraid to stand up for their fellow workers. It's a great opportunity. And the beauty of it is that federal law protects stewards in many respects.
Well, we're sitting here at the Union Hall right now.
Yep.
And I had the privilege and the opportunity to listen to you riff for about 90 minutes, I guess, or maybe 60 minutes on a variety of related topics. We're here for the steward training today. And it was what you were just saying was very striking, that this isn't a job for everybody, but there are certain people who just mesh with it quite well.
Nope, absolutely true.
One of the guys I was talking to in the class, I asked him why he chose to become a union steward. And he said, well, you know, I find I tend to make myself familiar with the collective bargaining agreement. And I take an interest in these things. And the people I work with had started coming to me and saying, could you help me out with this? Or what do you think of that? Is that a typical path to stewardship?
Very typical. I think stewards are natural leaders. They're people that other people look to. They're curious people. They're people who say, what is this document? And what are my rights inside this document? They become curious about that, and they want to fight and enforce those rights. Because literally, the contract we have, the 412 contracts we have, are 40, 50, 60 years old. And people have fought for every word in those collective bargaining agreements. And stewards are the people that want to know what they fought for. And they want to keep fighting for those rights.
And as is often the case with rights, if they are not guarded jealously, they become lost.
That's absolutely true. And at the end of the day, it's stewards who have more power to enforce our rights than a lot of people in the union hall, because they see the violations and they have the ability to strike remedies.
So in any given work environment, most people aren't stewards.
Correct.
I think the math would bear me out on that. What do workers need to know about what their steward is doing and what they need to know about how to best interact with the steward and support the steward.
So let me start with this first principle, and we talked about it today. It's this notion of steward immunity. Stewards have the power under the law to be treated as equals in the workplace when they are fighting for their members' rights, for their employees' rights. They are equal to a supervisor. And I think that's one of the most important things that regular workers need to understand, is that the steward has more power in the workplace than they do. The steward has the ability to go talk to the employer and bring about change in the workplace. I think in answer to your question, what a rank and file worker needs to understand about a steward is they are a resource. And it's important to understand that they're a resource for violations. They're not a resource for everything in the workplace. Stewards are responsible for helping workers enforce the four corners of the collective bargaining agreement. Stewards understand the contracts better than workers do because they read them more, and they have that ability to protect those rights.
And they have seen these things play out in other circumstances, situations, et cetera, et cetera. They've seen it.
They have experience enforcing the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, and they use that experience to be able to enforce your rights. Or sometimes they have to tell employees, look, we don't have those rights. That's another important responsibility of a steward, is to understand and to explain to members that there are limits to the rights that we have. There are limits to the collective bargaining agreement, and they help workers understand those limits so we stay on the right side.
So, and you were making the point that not everything is appropriate for a grievance, even protected, if it's something that you look at and say, well, that's just not right, or that shouldn't be, that still might not be the thing to file a grievance about.
Absolutely. And that's one of the harder jobs that union stewards have. They have the responsibility of enforcing the collective bargaining agreement. And sometimes things happen in the workplace that employees don't like, but they don't violate the collective bargaining agreement. And a steward's first responsibility in that situation is to say, hey, look, I know this isn't ideal or perfect, but these are some of the conditions that we have to live with. And so they educate the members about what we can and what we can't do.
Maybe this is a small point, but you made a point during the training that just really fascinated me, that there, you said, and tell me if I'm getting this right, that there are circumstances where a worker is involved in a termination situation or some issue with the company, and in a situation where the steward might have been helpful if the worker told the truth, that they lose the ability to help if it's found out that the worker wasn't being forthcoming.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. In the workplace, the union steward, in a way, functions in a situation where you're being disciplined. The union steward, as your representative, functions in some ways like an attorney, and they have the ability to protect you in those situations. And you, as a member, have the ability to tell the steward exactly the truth. Even if you're in trouble, you can tell the steward, and the steward will provide you with guidance on how to handle the situation. Anything that you tell a steward is protected by law. And so if you tell a steward, yeah, I did violate that rule, the steward cannot and does not ever tell the employer what you told the steward. And so as a worker, you're protected, and the steward is protected, and that conversation that you have with the steward is not divulged to management. So you can trust the steward.
And you're protected better, in a sense, because the steward now has more information to craft the right strategy for the situation.
It's absolutely true. And I told this story, and I'll tell it again briefly. I mean, everybody needs representation in a situation where they're going to be disciplined. Whether you're a new employee or whether you're a steward with 20 years of experience, you need a third-party representative who isn't close to the situation,
right,
who can come in and look at it objectively and provide you with the best advice. And it's really a good situation because you can tell the steward everything, and the steward can help you find the best path forward. And there's no repercussions. There's nothing that's going to happen to either you or the steward as a result of the conversation with the steward.
Excellent. You made a comment inside that another comment that caught my attention. It was kind of a saying, I guess, that is common in labor situations. You said that you described it as in a contentious situation, the strategy for the employee is best to obey now and grieve later.
Obey now, grieve later.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. In a situation where an employer tells you to do something that you know is not right, and I'm not talking about a safety situation, but an employer makes you do something that you don't want to do, if you don't comply, you're subject to discipline for insubordination. And so the best path forward is to obey the request, and if the request violates the collective bargaining agreement or violates your rights, we can do something about that. But we don't want to have to fight the additional problem of the claim of insubordination. So if you're told to do something, you do it, and then you go to your union steward and we fix it after the fact. Because it's harder to fix if you don't obey.
So you talked about that a little bit inside, and I it sounds like great advice to me, but it came up specifically in the context, and tell me if I'm getting this right, Shane.
Sure.
Of a Weingarten interview. So first of all, could you define that for our listeners?
Absolutely. Weingarten is a United States Supreme Court decision which said that workers in a unionized workplace, if they're being questioned by their employer and that questioning could lead to discipline, in that scenario, you have a right. If you request it, you have the right to representation. And they cannot deny you representation.
So what kind of triggered me to ask the question, they cannot deny you representation, but going back to the earlier question.
Right. Obey now, grieve later.
Obey now, grieve later. Reconcile those two things for our listeners.
Absolutely. So Weingarten provides you with the right to representation. There are instances where you have a right to representation. You've exercised that right. You said, I want a union representative. And they tell you, no, no union representative. Answer the questions. What we do is we obey now and we grieve later. You answer those questions. And if they've violated your rights and you had a right to a representative, the results of that interview can be stricken. The employer doesn't have the right to use that interview. So that's the classic obey now, grieve later. You obeyed, you answered the questions. We grieve later, and it turns out that none of the answers to those questions can be used against you. So obey now and rely on your union, rely on the law to protect you.
You know, as I been working on the 412-411, one of the things that occurs to me is that it's just amazing to think about the fact that union members have somebody who is always worried about what's going on in their workplace, who's always worried about them as a worker, about their interests as a worker. It's the most fundamental thing in the world, but in a way, it's the most amazing thing in the world.
I hadn't really thought about it in that context, but it's amazing, isn't it? You have someone in the workplace who wants to make sure that your job is being done correctly, that the rules are being followed. They are worried about you and your activities. Where else does that happen? It only happens in a union workplace.
That's exactly correct. Listen, Shane, your presentation was fascinating. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us today. Is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with?
Boy, that's a tough question. Just stick with your union. We are strong when we are together. And everybody has to remember, the union has leadership, and this union has good leadership. I represent unions all over the country, and you guys are in a good position. But the better that we stick together, the better that you guys realize that you are the union, the stronger your leaders can be.
Outstanding. Shane, thanks for what you do.
Thank you very much.
That was a great conversation. Hey, I don't want you to forget that the 412-411 is your podcast. Is there a topic you'd like us to address? Or is there some issue you'd like to learn more about? If that's the case, just let us know by dropping a note to Joan Baker. And I've got a quick reminder. Your general meetings are on the second Friday of every month at 7 o'clock at the Union Hall. And the Apprentice Council meetings are always on the same night, and they always begin at 5:30. The meetings are great, but they're much better when you're there. Thanks once again to Art Sparks and to Shane Utes for talking to us today about a subject that's an important part of your union experience and a critical component in protecting your interests in the workplace. And I don't want to wrap up today without the most important thank you of all. Thanks to you for listening.
Hi, I'm in a union.
I'm not in a union.
Is everything okay?
Just making sure my boss isn't spying on me.
Why?
Well, I told him about a safety violation and he said he'd fire me if I told anybody.
That's horrible. I would go straight to my steward if anything like that happened to me.
A steward? What's a steward?
A steward is a coworker who represents us in our union. I know that if I face retaliation, someone's got my back. There's no one there.